Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. This week's sermon comes from Reverend Gabriel Edwards and focuses on global generosity and lessons we can learn about how to be generous people from the people of Kenya.
The morning comes from Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to speak to this wonderful congregation. I'm humbled to attempt to share your message this morning. May you speak through me. In Christ's name we pray. I love traveling. I love exploring new places, new cultures, new foods, and you guys really know how much I love to eat. I love taking in new scenery, scenery that is not so common here in North Texas, like the mountains of Colorado, the white sand beaches of the Caribbean, the seemingly endless and unique urban sprawls of New York, Mexico City, Toronto, and Nairobi, and yes, I even have a soft spot for the swamplands surrounding Tallahassee. At this point, you're probably wondering, Gabe, you're really making me want to go on a vacation, but what could this possibly have to do with stewardship? I'm getting there, I promise. Or maybe I'm just working on building a new career as a travel agent. Anyway, for all of the beautiful scenery, delicious food, and wonderful nightlife that places have to offer, there is one thing that for me truly makes a place special, that puts a city, town, or village on the list of my favorite places in the world: music. I absolutely love traveling to places where music seems to come out of the ground. From the jazz of the French Quarter to the blues of Beale Street and the country music on Broadway Street, that's Nashville Broadway, not New York, I love a city that comes with a beat and a melody. And while New Orleans and Nashville are amazing places to hear live music, there is still one place I've been that outshines them both: Kenya. I picked the lay scripture this week because it reminded me so much of my time in Kenya. Just to remind you, in Psalm 148 it says, "Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together." You see, in Kenya, everyone had a song to sing. It's almost as if the entire country was in one big choir. Throughout both of my trips to Kenya, one with the Baylor Church Music Program and one with the Baylor Men's Choir, we prepared about 10 songs to sing by memory, and everywhere that we went, we would offer a song or two as gratitude to our hosts or our new friends. Every single time, the people we sang to in return had a song for us. It didn't matter where we were, a remote village, a bustling city market, a school, a hotel, or even the side of the road. The people gathered would band together and sing us a song. Early in the trip, my director asked our bus driver the question, "Do you sing?" The bus driver looked at him, laughed, and said, "Everyone in Kenya sings." That was groundbreaking to me. Everyone sings, like everyone. What a far cry from America. It would be a lot of fun to compare the answers of that question, "Do you sing?" in Kenya, to the answers I would get right here in DFW. In the latter, I would get lots of blank stares, some enthusiastic heck no's, and I censored myself for church, and likely some very proud yeses, followed by a little self-promotion. You see, in America, it seems that you're only allowed to sing if you have an exceptionally good voice. Shows like American Idol and The Voice have taught us that only the best voices should be allowed to sing, and anything less, that should be mocked. If your musical offering isn't above average, then it's not worth offering at all. The most beautiful thing about singing in Kenya is, well, it isn't always beautiful. You don't have to sound like Beyonce or Bruno Mars to have a voice that's worth listening to. You don't have to be classically trained to join the choir. Heck, the choir doesn't even have to rehearse. You just, don't listen to that. You just bring the voice that you have, regardless of who you are. Woman or man, young or old, rich or poor, trained or untrained. You bring that voice, you bring a song, and you bring all the joy and enthusiasm that you can muster. It became quite obvious to me throughout each trip that this Every Voice Matters philosophy of music had permeated many aspects of the Kenyan culture. For example, everywhere we traveled, there was food waiting for us. Whether that food was a full potluck spread with numerous delicious meats and vegetables, a simple pot of goat stew, or just tea and crackers, there were meals there. And I had some of the best meals of my life while I was in Kenya. And I also tasted things that I would probably never want to taste again. But I appreciated every morsel because it was a heartfelt offering of hospitality. Along our travels, we were also invited to the homes of our new friends. Some of these homes would have fit right in suburban America. Some took the form of tin shacks, and some were meager mud huts that fit the stereotypes that we see in National Geographic. But in almost all instances, the owner was proud that he or she could offer us a place to rest. This Every Voice Matters philosophy was even apparent in their giving. I told you I would make it back to stewardship. But first, we'll talk about worship. Kenyan worship services were amazing. The music was lively and joyous, blending Western hymns and praise songs with traditional Kenyan melodies. Alongside every song came dancing, clapping, and ululation, which is the high-pitched cheering sound that's often associated with African celebration. You'll be happy to know, Creekwood Christian Church, that not every member of their congregations clapped on the beat. It's not just a you problem. Anyways, the sermon was often offered in three languages, English, Swahili, and the language of the local tribe. So you can imagine that we didn't typically get out by noon. After 6 Sundays in Kenya, spread over the course of 2 separate trips, the memories of all of these worship services have started to blend together. But one Sunday I can remember vividly, and it will always stick out to me. The service took place in a sanctuary about the size of ours, with unpainted cinder block walls and rows of individual chairs. There was hardly an empty seat in the space, and the worship was lively and joyous as usual. The singing portion of the worship probably lasted about 40 minutes. Then choirs of all ages took their turns offering songs of praise. And after 25 minutes of these choral offerings, we were invited to sing a few songs. After we sang, the sermon was preached in 3 languages for about 40 minutes. Needless to say, after hour 2 of worship, my Texas raised, I need to get home before the Cowboys game, brain was starting to kick in. Not to mention, all of you have seen me try to sit still for a 20-minute sermon in 1 language. So by the time the offering trays were passed around the congregation, I was pretty much in a blur of, please, let's stand and sing more, and what time is lunch again? In my state of mental wandering, nothing in particular stuck out to me about the offering portion of the service until I heard the clucking of a chicken, then the crowing of a rooster. This broke me out of my haze really fast. What is going on? A few of us mumbled. We watched in amazement and confusion as live animals, bananas, bread, vegetables, and grain were brought to the front of the sanctuary. Then the pastor transformed into an auctioneer. You see, some of the members of their church did not have regular access to physical currency. So they gave what they had, which, yes, included live chickens. It included produce that they had tended to and nourished. It included bread that they had baked themselves, their offering seemed to take a lot more sacrifice and effort than the shillings I had just given a few moments prior. It was beautiful and immediately reminded me of the passage from Luke 21. How much did Jesus value, honor and value these copper coins in the form of livestock and produce? I also thought, how will this impact my giving? And furthermore, how can this impact the church's giving? I learned that day as a 19-year-old college student living off of about $400 a month that what you can give is a blessing. Some of us have been very successful monetarily speaking and can afford to give very large gifts. And what a great blessing that is. Some of us may not have a six-figure salary. Some of us may not have a job at all. But the gifts of those of us in this category matter just the same. We give what we have. Just as the people of Kenya were eager to offer a song, a meal, a place of rest, and their own possessions, whether monetary or in the form of an animal they had raised themselves. Just as the widow offered two copper coins, we offer what we have, and it's a blessing. Whitney, would you please pray for us?
Holy and gracious God, we give thanks this day for the voice that you have given Gabe, that he might bring a good word, a reminder for each of us that you have given us a voice, a purpose, a way of being in this world. Oh God, it's our holy and humble prayer that you help us to discern and to distinguish the ways in which you wish to make use of our voices, our gifts, our offerings that we share with you, one another, and your world. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.